You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
G'day everyone, my name is Rick and we are currently on a journey through the book of Psalms. So my question is, if you have a favourite psalm, which one is it? Every psalm we've looked at so far has been great and the whole book is wonderful. But I wonder how many of you answered that Psalm 23 is your favourite. It's been said that Psalm 23 is the most well-known passage of Scripture in the Bible. It's just 6 verses long, but it's provided comfort and strength to many generations throughout history, and it continues to do so for us today. Let's read it together, and today I'm reading from the New American Standard Version of the Bible. Psalm 23, starting in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23, it is just up there with the best, isn't it? It's been sung as worship songs, it's a prayer, and it's a poem. Its comfort to many believers over the centuries has been noted. It speaks of an intimate and personal relationship between the one writing and the Lord he worships. It speaks of care, guidance, provision, satisfaction, renewal, and loving kindness. Remember last week we looked at those images of the kingdom being forgiven, healed, redeemed, crowned, satisfied, and renewed. And we get the same description here as well. Images of the king, his love for us, and the kingdom he calls us into. It's so important that we keep these images in our heart. They need to get into our very essence, our core beings, the stuff that really makes us who we are. And the image that lingers after reading this psalm is one of utter confidence, faith, and trust. And yet if all we are left with is a sense, an image, or a thought about someone else's confidence, someone else's faith, and someone else's trust, then something is amiss. So it is at this point I want us to stop and pull back for a moment. While Psalm 23 is one of, if not the best known passage of Scripture, the danger that lurks with it being so well known is that we can read it and somehow not see it. Psalm 23 can become so familiar to us that we can sing it off by heart and not let it into our heart. The Bible is the Word of God. Hebrews 4 verse 12 declares this. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. When we read Psalm 23, let us have this in our heart as well, that we are engaging with the living and active Word of God that has power to pierce and discern our innermost beings. See, this psalm is not just someone else's experience to think, oh, that's nice for them. But rather, let us pray now for the Holy Spirit to come and make these words living and active in our experience, in our life, so that we can grow, each one of us, in confidence, faith, and trust. Verse 1 says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Really, we could just go home right now, couldn't we? What an opening statement. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And right at the beginning, we need to see the link provided here in verse 1, which is then developed in verse 2 and 3. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because he cares for me, because he has saved me, because the Lord is my shepherd. Do you see the use of the very personal language here? It's not just the Lord is the shepherd, or even the Lord is Israel's shepherd, although of course he is these things, but rather the Lord is my shepherd, because this is the case, because he is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's so important to find yourself in this psalm. The Lord is our shepherd, and therefore we are his sheep. He doesn't care for the sheep from afar. Let's think about the image and the picture that this psalm evokes in us. But he is with them. The shepherd is with them every step of the journey, every night in the field, and every early morning on the path. He's thinking ahead to what are their needs, the protection they need and their care. So also the Lord towards us. If God is our shepherd, and if he is responsible for our care, our protection, and our flourishing, then we shall not want. This is not some hired hand who will clock out the moment the buzzer hits knockoff time. This is the Lord who is our shepherd. Verse 2 and 3 expand on what the Lord does as our shepherd so that we do not want. Verse 2 begins, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There's a wonderful sense of God's leading us into a bountiful life. He guides us. He leads us. He restores us. Verse 2 describes really the idyllic life of the sheep as the shepherd leads them into these green pastures where they can feed, beside quiet waters where they can drink. The poet masterfully evokes a mental image of beauty and calm. The shepherd finds us and leads us to green pastures and refreshing waters. It speaks not only to our physical needs being met, for the sheep, green pastures and waters are like a banquet, but also it speaks to the love and care and thoughtfulness of the shepherd towards us, his sheep, in bringing us into these places and providing for us the satisfaction of our physical needs. All these lead to a restoring and a refreshing of our souls. Verse 2 and 3 show what it means for our Lord to be our shepherd, because he is our shepherd and does these things for us. You shall not want. So our shepherd leads, provides, restores, and also guides us. The Lord guides us in the paths of righteousness. If you're reading from the New International Version, it will say, guides me along the right paths. And the theologians have debated whether it means paths of righteousness, having a more moral undertone to it, or as it's within the picture of a shepherd and its sheep, simply the right paths that the shepherd and the sheep will take. In either case, the metaphor of the path is well known from what we call the wisdom literature in the Bible, particularly the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs, the path stands for one's life journey. In Proverbs, there are two possible paths, the straight path that leads to life and the crooked path that leads to death. So whether right paths or paths of righteousness, the paths along which God the shepherd leads his sheep are clearly the former. God, like the Father in Proverbs, guides us, guides his people in paths where they will act with integrity and justice. And this path will lead them to life. And this is really important for understanding the next verse. Verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, I think many of us can relate to seasons of walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But it is interesting that everything up until this point has presented the shepherd leading, guiding, and restoring us in green pastures and flowing waters. It speaks of beauty, calm, plenty, and is captured most surely by that statement, "I shall not want." So how do we now find ourselves in the valley of the shadow of death? Whether it's a season of deep darkness or evil or the reality of being at death's door, what are we to make of this? Crucially for all of us, the shepherd of verses 1 to 3 is still with us, right here, right in your deep darkness, right in your valley, right in the shadow of death. He is still right there with you. The paths that the shepherd lead us on, which ultimately lead to green pastures, quiet waters, and a renewing and restoring of life, can at times go through the valley of the shadow of death. He does not do this to harm us or to trip us up, but rather because he knows the right path to lead us to the life of pasture, refreshing, and renewal that he promises us to lie down in. Yet all the while, we need to hold in our hearts that our destination is not the valley, but rather the green pastures and the refreshing waters. The shepherd who knows the terrain of our lives better than we can ever fathom, who sees from a perspective we don't have, and who loves from a purity we can only imagine, leads us through the darkness of the valley with its dangers, but also it's moments where we can act with justice and integrity and grow in faith and trust in the shepherd who's leading us through. These times can be confusing and often only fully understood in the light of hindsight. But if we know the shepherd is leading us and we can build into our hearts now, how much better we will walk when we do find ourselves in those valleys, when our hearts are sure that our shepherd is leading us through them. I wonder how many of us are in the valley or have that feeling of being in the valley at the moment. The uncertainty of COVID and when will it all end? The isolation, the sense of powerlessness, and for some of us, perhaps even despair. How different does it make you feel to know the Lord, your shepherd, is there with you? Isn't that the crux of the matter for the psalmist here? Even though he walked through the deepest darkness, he will fear no evil. Not because he's some sort of superhero, not because he's some sort of elite squad of believers. No, only because he knows that God is with him. And what a question for each one of us that is today. Do you know that he is with you in your life, in your daily existence, in the mountaintop and the valley? Do you know that the Lord, your shepherd, is with you? Recently, we've been speaking about positioning ourselves to be face to face with the Lord and of the Lord also preparing us for the season to come. This is a moment right now, especially if you're not sure whether he is with you, to turn now and position yourself towards Jesus. I'm talking about those who already know Jesus as Lord and Savior, but are maybe feeling distant and detached, and you need to know more than anything that he is on the journey with you today. And I'm also talking to those of you listening who haven't yet acknowledged Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You also can turn to him. Turn away from your life without him. Turn from your sin. Repent and receive his forgiveness and the gift of eternal life. You can also know that he is with you on this path of life. In this time of COVID, of uncertainty, of rapid change, there is so much we cannot do. However, knowing Jesus as Lord, knowing the Holy Spirit living in us, and knowing the loving embrace of the Father is always possible, regardless of circumstance. Position yourself for encounter, for presence, for being shaped to be more like Jesus. We can do this today, tomorrow, and indeed every day to come. And not only can we know that He is with us in this very practical, very experiential way, Psalm 23 gives us a sense of what that means and how that happens. Continuing with the shepherd-sheep metaphor, we see the sheep's comfort is found in the shepherd's rod and staff. It's really interesting that the poet uses these terms. The rod and the staff, they're implements that the shepherd uses to fend off predators and to guide the sheep in the right direction and towards those green pastures. The rod refers to a short wooden club or a cudgel that the shepherd would use for the protection against other animals and human enemies, to protect the sheep. The staff was a longer piece of wood and could be used to help sheep struggling up a difficult path or through whatever darkness and wilderness they must pass through. And this is what God does in those valley times. He fends off enemies, sometimes without us even knowing. And His staff helps us when we're struggling with a difficult part of the path we're on. But praise God, we walk through those valleys. We don't walk into them to remain. The valleys are part of the journey. I can testify to those valley times in my life, and I'm sure many of us can. The right path towards the green pastures and the quiet waters may require us to walk through the valley. We walk through them with the Lord, who is our shepherd, who holds the rod and His staff. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Lord Jesus, I pray that everyone listening to this sermon will come to a place of knowing You the way the psalmist did, knowing You with a deep confidence and an utter trust that You are with them. You are the one who guides, leads, provides, restores, protects, and shepherds us on the right paths to life, even when those paths require us to walk through valleys of deep darkness. Verse 5 and 6 complete the psalm, and the shepherd image is changed to an image of the host. Verse 5, You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now the Lord is a host, preparing a marvelous meal for us. Though there are enemies in the vicinity, the guest enjoys the host's hospitality and protection. He prepares food for him, anoints his head with refreshing oil to wipe away the grime and the dust of the day, and fills his cup to overflowing. You see, eating with someone implies entering into an intimate relationship with them. The overflowing cup speaks to us of God's blessing and His abundance, and it also speaks of His salvation. God treats the psalmist as His honored guest. Although trouble had been hinted at in verses 4 and 5, or verse 5 then mentions enemies for the first time. Thus we discover that the psalmist expresses confidence in God, not during these moments of tranquility, but rather when being pressed by enemies. Through His presence and provision, God demonstrates to the enemies whose side He is on. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The psalm ends with a declaration that because of God's goodness, protection, provision, guidance, and leading, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. One commentator argues that the words follows, as loving kindness follows me all the days of my life, should be translated rather as pursues. And from this, and remembering now the shepherd image, he suggests that goodness and loving kindness act like the shepherd's sheepdogs, helping the sheep to keep on the right direction. I like that. God's goodness and loving kindness acting like sheepdogs, keeping you and me on the right path. It's got such a wonderful image. Working hand in hand with the presence of God, the Lord, who is our shepherd and who leads us on the path of life. His goodness and his loving kindness to you and to me is our constant friend. The result being that the psalmist knows that he will live in the house of the Lord forever. He will live as you and I can live in the presence of God forever. In our daily activities, in our valleys, in our joys, we can always and forever know the presence of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If you are a Christian, you cannot read Psalm 23 and how it explores God as shepherd and of his people without thinking of Jesus Christ. After all, Jesus announced himself to his disciples, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Indeed, Jesus died on the cross to save his people from their guilt, sin, and death. He is the ultimate comfort in life and in death. And just like a shepherd, Jesus comforts his people by revealing, "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but as you've been searching for answers in this time of crisis, please do get in touch. We'd love to talk with you more about who Jesus is and how he can be your shepherd today. You can even pray a simple prayer now. It's simple but profound. You start with acknowledging that you have lived a life apart from God, that you have sinned against other people and God, and that you're sorry for how you have lived, and finally asking Jesus to save you and be Lord of your life. Romans 10, verse 9 to 13 says this: "If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Bless you and have a great week.